Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. You know, we started off the day with technical difficulties like pretty much every episode. I feel like something's going on, but we figured it out. It took us 23 minutes this time, and we are rocking and ready to go. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling great.
All things considered, we're living in a digital age, and this is what comes with it.
I'm feeling the same really way. Is. I'm living large, in charge, hanging out with my homies. And that's you guys.
You know, we did actually have a double date. And from the first 3/4 of the dinner, we didn't talk about work, which was really nice. And
so
then
nice.
It always creeps in, which is good. I mean,
it's
when you
lives.
Work with your best friend, it's always going to kind of creep in.
Totally.
But it's where our best ideas really come to fruition, because we brainstormed some good shit at this double date.
There's also something really funny we came up with on the Patreon this week that I was laughing about this morning. I got those files over to Jared and I was like editing some mistakes out, and I was cracking up about where we were talking about tickling the wire and like how we're going to integrate that into the first degree as some side of inside joke or some segment. And I'm like, it's just too good. Tickling
yes.
the wire is too good for us to not, you know, be creative with that.
Yeah. If you're not part of our Patreon, you have not heard this episode that we did. I mean, the episode itself wasn't incredible, but there was this.
It sure
term.
Was incredible. It was
an incredible episode. Not in like a happy way.
Well,
but
no, it's of course it's very sad, but yeah. Well researched, might I say.
Well researched. But during said episode, we came across a term called tickling the wire. It's kind of like wiretapping, I'm assuming, but tickling the wire, there's something there. We don't know exactly what it is yet, but there's something there.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. Patent pending.
What do you think, Jared? Tickling
the wire. I don't... First off, I hate being tickled. So
everyone hates it.
Right out of the gate, I'm very uncomfortable.
Do you guys think that tickling should be considered pain? Because they're on an episode of Bachelor in Paradise, this was a huge point of contention between two people, and it kind of led to their breakup because one said the tickling was considered pain and one did not.
Some people consider it pleasure.
I really hate it. And like, I remember, you know, uncles and shit would hold me down and tickle me, and I'm like, this is my nightmare. I hate this.
It's like
even
tickling
if it's
PTSD.
Not creepy, it's just... It becomes painful because you're stimulating, you know, someone's nerves to such a degree that it's eliciting some physical response and, you know, recoil. So I think, yeah,
literally, it's
I think it's a violation for
flight.
Sure.
Yeah, tickling is creepy. I feel like we all probably had a first creepy tickling experience at some point of our childhood that it's just visceral.
I feel like I still get tickled. and I don't want to.
Really?
Jared keeps trying to tickle me. It's Matt, quite annoying.
Matt tickles me and I like scream so loud.
It's such a good move.
It stops
so
right away because he's like, the neighbors will like it right away. You just let out a shriek and then they'll stop.
Well,
you just
my
can't
thing
try to
is,
be too quiet about it because then they'll keep going.
I have like immediate like reaction and I have very long, very sharp nails. And I'm like, Jared, I can't control how I'm going to react to being tickled. And most of what happens is I go into a claw and like dig into his neck.
Well, so it's
it's just a trigger response. I mean, you
unfortunately,
can't help it.
I had to warn Jack pretty early on when we were dating. I was like, you can't tickle me because I have an involuntary reaction where I just start bucking like a wild bronco. I just start kicking and like anything I can do to get you away from me, and like I can't control myself.
Yeah,
I hate it.
If one of you happens to be wearing steel toe boots when one of you tickles the other, it's all over.
It's all over. Well, I'm glad that we started off on tickling. Do we want to get into the day today?
Would love Indeed. To hear that.
Okay, so today is January 19th, and on January 19th, 1809, poet, author, and literary critic Edgar Allan Poe is born in Boston, Massachusetts. So I'm pretty sure everybody at least has an idea of who Edgar Allan Poe is. Do either of you have any connections
yes.
or anything
yes.
you'd like to share?
Yes, I'd love to talk about this. Okay.
Okay.
First, he wrote my favorite poem of all time, Annabelle Lee.
Mm.
Favorite poem ever. Second, I was thinking about the episode when I was writing my Costanza stanza, and I had a thought, and I don't know if either of you know this. Edgar Allan Poe, where does the word poem come from?
Oh.
Because my friend Jeff, he used to write poems, and he'd call them a roem as like a joke. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh, today's roem is, but I'm now thinking maybe Poe is the derivative of poem, or I am an idiot and there's some Latin derivative and I have no idea what I'm talking about. But to me, it made sense as like the ultimate poet.
I mean, that's actually a really good observation, but I think
probably
I'm
not
because
I think poems predate him.
15th century.
I have bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
Poem comes from the Greek poema, meaning a thing made.
Ooh.
And a poet is defined in ancient terms as a maker of things.
That's so vague.
It's really, really obtuse for how
so
specific
stuff,
poetry
yeah.
is.
Yeah, a person who makes things, that's literally every single human in the world.
I think mine makes more sense. We're going with mine.
Too.
Edgar Allan Poem.
Poem.
Yes.
Well, did
that's
you know,
the name of this episode, Edgar Allan Poe. Yep.
Well, what I'll kind of go through his biography so we can kind of get a TLDR about him. But he is the first well-known American writer to earn a living through writing alone. So up until then, nobody had been making all of their income from just writing. So he was the first documented one. So he is the first paid poet.
Poet,
you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, number one, I'm pretty sure he died when he was like 40. I don't have his death in here. Oh, there's a big part about his death later, but I don't know what year it was. But I think he was like 40. And if you go and look at a picture of Edgar Allan Poe, he looked old. Like he looked like he was 70.
So he died October 7th, 1849.
He was
and
born.
And it's remained mysterious.
Well, we're going to get into his mysterious death because
Ooh.
I found it fascinating.
Ooh.
So he died
a
when he
mystery.
Was 40. Which is 4 years older than us. And I've got to say, I feel like I look a little better than he did in his heyday.
Let's not say 4 years older than us.
I am not counting the years of the pandemic as aging because I didn't go outside and I didn't get any sun damage. Therefore, I regressed.
That's true. Okay. So we're going to get into a little bit of Edgar Allan Poe's life. So he was born in Boston. Something that happened when he was a baby is his dad left when he was one, and then his mother died before he turned two. So he was pretty much an orphan his entire life. And it kind of affected him throughout his life. Like he always had that abandonment and he was always trying to like reach it and deal with it like during his his life, especially with some of his marriages. And he ended up going...
Plural, huh? Many marriages?
Mm-hmm.
What a
well,
guy.
Well, everybody was dying.
Sure. Like really young.
Yeah.
You're like, ah, oh, dang it. You gotta find another one.
Right.
Yeah, no, everybody was dying of, like, I don't know what diseases were going on in the 1800s, but... So he enlisted in the army for a while. He was like kind of writing. And when he was in the U.S. Army, under an assumed name, he published his first collection called Tamerlane and Other Poems, credited only to a Bostonian. So he didn't even have his name on his first work of poetry. Wow. Then he spent the next several years working for literary journalists and periodicals, becoming known for his own style of literary criticism. I guess he was like kind of a dick, like his critiques for other works.
That does not surprise me. One bit.
Yeah. He was, I mean, like
elitism in art?
In poetry. Yeah. Like, it's the most pretentious thing you can do.
I know.
It's like do rhyming couplets about your feelings.
It really is.
Yeah, it really real. Is.
Oh, so in 1845, he published the poem The Raven, which we all know, to instant success. And a fun fact about me is I was almost gonna be named Raven, but my dad vetoed it. So I could have had a connection to Edgar Allan Poe.
Another one of my favorite poems ever.
It's so good.
It may, in fact, be the inspiration for our Costanza stanza today.
Oh my gosh, ooh. I can't wait.
Yes, oh, I did an extra special poem. It's my one slice of life where I can be pretentious, so I'm going to do it.
I love Amazing. It. I'm ready to snap.
Yes.
Hell, I know. Snap, snaps. So then he died mysteriously. We're going to talk about that later when he was 40 years old. So Edgar Allan Poe is best remembered for his tales of terror and haunting poems, but he's also credited as one of the earliest writers of short stories, the inventor of the modern detective story, and an innovator in the genre of science fiction. So he is kind of doing it all.
The detective genre, does this mean he's like our great, 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 great granddaddy of like crime?
Of true crime, I guess.
Of like, whoa. That's
I don't know enough about Edgar Allan Poe's like other works to really...
Maybe we should do a whole like Patreon about him. Like everything we can find. I think that would be really fun.
That would be fun. Ooh, yeah. I like this.
Me too.
Deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we come back for True Crime Rewind, we're going to go through some weird shit about Edgar Allan Poe. But until then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We either love it or we hate it. We talk about it, have a good, healthy discussion, and then vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to Instagram. You vote if it's guilty or not guilty. And if you have your own On the Stands, you can call us. And I don't know if we have the number available right now, but it should be in our show notes.
For On the Stand, it is in the show notes now, just so you guys know. I'm adding them in.
Good job, Jared. Should I read them right now?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me drum roll, please.
818-446-6889.
Wait, is that the... Yeah, that's right, Jared. Okay.
For On the Stand, it is 818-446-6889.
What
I've got
guy.
Them in my notes now.
Look at you, Jer.
He's taking control.
Wow.
I love it.
Look at this teamwork and making the dream working.
Hey, it's one less thing that Alexis has to do now.
That's right, you guys.
Take it off her plate.
Me and Jer are just passing responsibilities around.
Okay, I'm going to go first for my On the Stand.
Great.
So what I am bringing to the stand today is when you're in a single public restroom and it has a lock, and from the outside, it tells you if it's being used or not, yet somebody decides to try to wiggle the handle and knock on the door to try to get into your bathroom when it is clearly, clearly occupied. I just thought about this the other day because it happened to me, and I'm like, it is crazy how often this actually does happen on a daily basis to, I'm sure, everybody in this world.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, I think they just want the person inside to know there's someone waiting, because when they went in, there was no one waiting. So the person thinks that they can just take their sweet time because there's no line. Mm. So that's happened to me where it's like, if I'm like 5 minutes, because I was like, sup, I'll put some mascara on because no one was waiting. And I'm ready to have some alone time, whether it's putting on some perfume or brushing my hair, like
sitting on the toilet.
No one's getting hurt. I don't do that in public. I don't discuss those things. But anyways, so I'm going to see. I don't know how I feel at this. I want to see what Jared says and Jack says before I decide how I feel.
This sends me into a rage. I hate when people are yanking on the handle. If it has an indicator or not, it's just like, check it once maybe. If it says vacant or occupied, you can clearly read that. Just go away and come back. But I, Alexis, to your point, I understand the urgency check, like one time.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm
out.
You
get one.
No, you wait for a little bit. You wait for a while.
I guess enough, 5 minutes.
Enough to like have the person, if you know, maybe something's going on, like give them enough time. You check once lightly to let them know that you're there, and then you don't check again.
Yeah.
Because
they're either coming out or they're not, or they either care about you being there or not. And if they care, they'll come out soon. And if they don't, they never would have anyway. So doing it more times is just going to agitate a situation. And you don't want to have an awkward fucking confrontation when someone comes out of a bathroom. Who knows if they wash their hands? Like, it could get real messy from here.
No, there's no more vulnerable place to be than, especially if maybe some your stomach's gurgling or something, and then you're like looking at somebody in the eye that has just been judging you the entire time. And you're like, I already am embarrassed enough. Like, I have enough shame as it is.
And my stomach hurts.
And I'm through sick. Something right now. Like, I don't want to be here either.
I don't need this shame on top of everything else.
Yeah,
I have a car ride ahead of me.
It's like, you think I want to be in this dirty, gross bathroom right now by myself? No.
Hard pass.
No, nightmare. No.
All right.
I had a guy at the airport, because you know there's like a 2 foot gap on the bottom of the stall door, like in a public bathroom.
Yeah.
Like a foot and a half. He was looking too
much.
Way too much. Close the whole door. So he was looking under to see if people's feet were in there, which is, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt and saying that's what he was doing, but he was looking, I think, to see feet, and he looked under mine, and I just went, hello.
Wait, he looked under it? Dude, he put his head close enough to the ground that you saw his face?
He was like bent over it, like, I don't know what the angle would be, but like, you know, like almost like you're touching your toes, and he was like looking to see if there were feet, and I saw like
his
the top
face.
Of his head.
That's
like,
insane.
And I just said, hello.
He probably needed to go number two, and he was seeing if anyone was around to hear how bad. People do that.
He didn't want to yank on the door handle. He was,
but that's also a public bath. I mean, that's a multi bathroom. That's not like you're in the singular stall.
Yeah, that's not a single. Yeah,
no, nope, he just wanted to know who else was there because he needs to know how conservative or not to be.
I just thought it was a fun story I wanted to share.
Hello,
it's pretty fucking funny, Jared.
I can imagine you doing that.
Hello,
I love it. I love it.
All right, well, guilty. All right, who's next?
I'll go next.
Go ahead, Lex.
Jerry, you go next.
Okay. We were talking about the theme of the episode, and we're talking about Edgar Allan Poe, and I was thinking about being poetic, and today I'm putting on the stand people who make up their own inspirational quotes and like post them on their Facebook, their Instagram, their social media, and they just kind of have this I don't know. It's like you're not published. Okay, that's the qualification here. Non-published poets posting inspirational or, you know.
We're talking poetic. about you brought that into Canva and you put your quote together and you credited yourself at the end.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, cuz I barely want to listen to the professionals in this setting, and you know, it's just I cringe because I think about me doing that and how like I would tremble at hitting the post button.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, we get embarrassed by that kind of stuff.
And I am not, and I wish I had that sort of like, I wish I could turn that switch off and like have no shame and just go for it. But, and so I don't want to take away from anyone if they're creating or being, you know, intellectual or thinking about wanting to put something profound out there. I'm just saying, to me, it's got a level of cringe on it, and I'm putting it on the stand because, you know, I don't know. It makes
I only think you should put profound things out there, like if you've done significant work in the field. Truly, like to do your own. If someone else quotes you, that's something else entirely. Like
if somebody
like Atticus is one I can think of, like an Instagram guy, a poet, really, really talented writer, obviously, yeah. right? But everyone else blew him up by quoting him, which is not the same as quoting yourself on your own feed.
No.
Right? So I think you have to do significant work and then maybe then let other people quote you and create the memes and you can yes. share them.
Yeah.
Yes.
With all those functions. But like, I think the only time it's okay for your quote memes to be out there is if someone did them and you're sharing them on a your self-quote. Professional page.
So yeah. this, I mean, I can attest to this because I had one quote that I wrote 15 years ago that went like kind of viral for its time.
Yeah, there was like magnets and postcards.
It's on Goodreads. Ooh. I'm still selling little cards. I saw one at the coffee shop the other day. But I will repost that every once in a while because I honestly think it's a good quote. It was way ahead of my time for my age. I was like, what are you
doing? You are
a
visionary.
I was.
I had no idea I would be attacking my fiance in this one. But,
I don't make my own like little graphic with that quote on it and put Jack Vanek at the bottom and then post that. I'll maybe post the card when I see it because I'm like, oh, I saw the card in a gift shop. But
I mean, that's in the safe zone. That's fine.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is like, you can tell like your buddy just went through like a breakup because he starts posting all this stuff that's like, he's not quoting any like poets. It's yeah. like, in the end, it will all work out. It's like really vague stuff.
Rob.
Like that.
Well, this actually reminds me of far long ago before I was madly in love with Matt.
I was hoping you were going to bring this up.
I had an experience with a man. I don't know what to call it. You know, like we had a thing at one phase and then we stopped talking because something bad happened and I was like, fuck this guy. And then like maybe a year passed and then there was a reconnection and I was telling Jack about it and a bunch of my friends and I was like, here's his Instagram. And she's like, are those quote memes that he's made of his own thoughts?
That's what I'm talking about. That's all I was talking about.
You know how like there's like the thing where girls have nicknames for all of the guys that they date? Like his nickname was the meme maker.
The meme maker.
That's all. I don't even remember what his name was, but I remember the meme. And I actually, didn't he like use like an Eve 6 quote or like a lit quote and then like credited himself?
Yeah, but then he put his own like punchline at the end of it. Or like some ironic.
Adding on to a quote.
Yeah, he added on with like an ironic twist at the end.
It's like he's like the Banksy of quoting.
Oh, yeah. Total blasphemy.
Yeah, he remixed
like. Defiling the quotes is fucking spot on.
Yeah. He remixed like a lit lyric, added his own twist, and then credited himself.
And this is so offensive to Jacqueline that this comes up at least once a year, even though this guy's been long gone. This is something we talk about and reference kind of regularly.
I didn't realize like there funny. Were it is iconic. There many options for it. Yeah, that's wild.
Oh my God, I love it so much. Well,
guilty for me.
Guilty. Ready for mine?
Ready.
Yes.
Okay, so it's no secret I love a salty snack.
Oh yeah.
It's no secret that I love a pickle. Love a pickle. You know that I love my
pickle roll-ups.
Pickle roll-ups with turkey, cream cheese, and pickle wrapped up, cut up like sushi. Eat it like a classy lady with a beer or something. That's sort of a fond, you know, outside of body experience I do with myself.
I want that right now.
Yeah, it was delicious. But what I'll say is, I tried a pickle the other day. We didn't have the ones I normally like, but I had a jar of pickles in the fridge. Uh-huh. And I tried it, and it was a sweet gherkin.
Ooh.
Was it like a bread and butter kind of vibe?
No, love bread and butter, because bread and butter has dill, and the vinegar is still savory and like tart. Mm. Sweet gherkins, okay, they taste like relish juice. Oh, so ew. I am prosecuting the sweet gherkin, because you're not what I'm craving. Like I'm craving like a sharp spike in sodium. I'm craving like a pickle. It's supposed
sour.
To
sour.
Like, it's supposed to be a surrogate for like a bag of Cheez-Its, like a zero calorie snack that I can eat that gives me the savory shenanigans. I tried a pickle gherkin and I was like taking a bite of relish. It was sweet. It was bad. I could barely finish a small one. And I was like, this is not a pickle. This is a dessert gherkin.
This is not a pickle.
Put that on a sundae, you know?
This is a dessert portion of the charcuterie because this is not this is not, it did not satiate the part of my like umami craving, like a pickly, salty thing I wanted.
Yes.
You know what? No. Hearing Jack say that, I wonder if Salt and Straw has ever done like a sweet gherkin ice cream.
I mean, they might have.
Patent like pending.
Probably happened.
Pickled
probably
something.
Happened. Patent pending. Mm.
It wouldn't be the weirdest thing they've done. I don't even like a bread and butter pickle. Like
they tote the line for me, but I got some fresh ones from a place that has like, you know, they're like fresh. They just have like a thing on it. I love those. Anything in a jar? No. It's like they get too sweet as time goes on. Mm. I'm just here for I'm here for a salty pickle with some straight up.
I want the pickliest pickle. Yeah. We're going to Jersey Mike's after this. Extra pickle pickles. The more the merrier.
We've been thinking about it all day. We're ready.
Oh my gosh.
I've been thinking about it since I woke up.
The thing about relish is relish looks, when I see relish, I'm like, that's going to be delicious. Even though I know
it's too sweet.
I don't like relish. And then
it's good
I go for it.
It's good on a turkey dog. Like I do like a little bit of relish, but not a whole pickle season that way. It was awful.
We don't want that. Ugh. Nope.
It was like a port wine, you know, like a headache like that.
No. Too sweet.
Give me the dill.
Guilty as charged.
Guilty.
I can't wait to hear people's opposing opinions because I know people love sweet gherkins. There's whole aisles of them at the grocery store.
Really?
Many. At least a whole end cap.
Gross.
We're about to be in a big pickle here.
That's right. We're going to be in a big pickle. When we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally. First with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today.
Okay, so it comes as no surprise that I have absolutely no idea how to cook. I don't want to learn how to cook. It's not really my thing. But when I tried Factor Meals, it was a freaking game changer. So Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. So the first time I tried Factor Meals, I was actually blown away because I'm like, that's it. That's all it is. 2 minutes and the meals are so delicious. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. And you can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, ooh, fancy, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Like I said, they're so easy to prepare. I love them. So head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
It's almost summer, and the best and most sustainable way to shop for a new season is on therealreal.com. The RealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. It's the only place you'll find brands like Hermes, Cartier, Prada, Dior, Staud, Zimmermann, Jacquemus, and more for up to 90% off retail. 10,000 plus new arrivals land every single day from hundreds of brands you love, all authenticated by a team of in-house experts. Whether it's that perfect wedding guest look, a new summer sandal, an updated beach tote, resort wear for your summer vacation, you're bound to find exactly what you're looking for, plus deals you won't get anywhere else on TheRealReal.com. Visit TheRealReal.com and use code FIRST at checkout for 20% off. Terms apply.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
So for True Crime Rewind this week, you know, I knew Edgar Allan Poe, like, he's got to have some shit going on. You know, he was a weirdo. Darkness surrounding him. And I thought I was going to find like a, you know, it could be like a little bit of a series. But what I really want to focus on is the fact his marriages were a little bizarre. And then his death was a mystery. So we're going to jump right into those two things. That's what we're going to be focusing on today.
Cool.
So,
ooh. Okay.
Number one. He married his first cousin who was 13 years old. This is a massive problem.
How old was he?
I'm sorry. Was that 13?
13. Okay. He, I think, was 27.
That's wrong.
So I'm going to give you like the little lay down of their relationship. So her name was Virginia Clem, and she first met Edgar Allan Poe in August of 1829, 4 months after his discharge from the army. And she was 7 years old. So they met when she was seven and he was 21. That's when they first met for the first time.
Oh, so it's just going to get worse. Got it.
It's just going to get worse. So he ended up living with their grandmother. And he was sort of like her big brothery type of a person. And then he was smitten by a neighbor named Mary Devereaux, and Virginia, his cousin, served as a messenger between the two. So in the beginning, Virginia was kind of the go-between between him and this other girl that he was trying to court. But then I think she ended up dying or something. And that's when Edgar Allan Poe came back to Virginia. And they ended up getting married in 1836. And her age was listed as 21 years old instead of 13. So I think that they knew that it was a little bit sketchy.
God, if you're, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously. But
well, he married a changing. Child.
He married a child. That's yeah, on paper, that's exactly what happened. And actually in real life, too. And if you're actually going through the thought process where you have to, like, fudge the numbers, you know what you're doing.
And Aaliyah did that. That's what happened with Aaliyah and R. Kelly.
Yeah. I mean, you know it's wrong. Apparently, it was not that weird to marry your first cousin back in the day, which that doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but whatever. But it said she was, I don't remember what the word was, a little bit young or something.
I think Rudy Giuliani married his first cousin.
Ew, what?
Yeah.
Isn't that illegal?
No. Mm. Not in every state.
Very Game of Thrones.
So anyways, he kind of like took care of her, I guess, like tutored her, you know, like a, I don't know, like a dad probably would. And she referred to him as Eddie and he called her Sissy. And it says it's been suggested that the couple may have not even consummated their marriage. And then I read this kind of interesting thing that said, this biographer for Edgar Allan Poe, it says it suggests that Poe did not need women, quote, in the way that normal men need them, and was never interested in women sexually. Friends had indicated that the couple did not share a bed until Virginia turned 16, then enjoyed a normal married life. So take that for whatever that is.
I just want to clarify, Rudy Giuliani married his second cousin.
Okay.
Not his first cousin.
I don't really know how the first, second, I don't know how that whole thing works. I need to look at a family
tree
to understand.
Your parents' cousin is your second cousin.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Now I know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I never knew that. That is a new wrinkle in my brain. Mm-hmm. Okay. So his death. So that's weird. I mean, his child bride was bizarre. His death to this day remains a mystery. So on October 3rd, 1849, this guy named Joseph Walker, he was a compositor for the Baltimore Sun, headed out to this place called Gunner's Hall, which was a public house bustling with activity. It was election day, so people were like voting that day, and they were voting at this place called the Gunner House, and it was a pop-up location for the Fourth Ward polls, whatever the fuck that is. When Walker arrived at Gunner's Hall, he found a man delirious and dressed in shabby secondhand clothes lying in the gutter, and he found out that this man was Edgar Allan Poe. And Edgar Allan Poe, he was completely delirious, like wearing somebody else's clothes that absolutely were not his. And they ended up bringing him to the hospital where he died a couple days later. So there's all these like mysterious circumstances revolving around his death because nobody knows why he was there. No, he was like supposed to be traveling to somewhere else, like Richmond or something, to help some other poet. But he ended up here, and it was just this very mysterious set of circumstances that nobody knows what happened.
Dun, dun, dun.
So when he went to the hospital, he spent his final days wavering between fits of delirium, gripped by visual hallucinations. And the night before his death, according to his physician, he repeatedly called out for Reynolds, but nobody knows who Reynolds was. So there are different theories about him and how he died. One was that he was beaten to death by some ruffians. He was robbed and beaten by ruffians.
Ruffian, I love that word.
And a big thing about Edgar Allan Poe is he could not hold his booze. He would drink like one glass of champagne or something, and he would just be like done. So
if only I was a one glass wonder.
He was like a bit of a lightweight. So people were like, you know, he might have become drunk after a single glass of champagne, and then he was wandering the streets, might have gotten robbed and beaten by ruffians. This is my favorite theory. So it's this thing called cooping. And the theory is that Poe fell victim to a practice known as cooping, a method of voter fraud practiced by gangs in the 19th century, where an unsuspecting victim would be kidnapped, disguised, and forced to vote for a specific candidate multiple times under multiple disguised identities. Isn't that crazy?
That was a thing then. But physically with disguises? I want to know how that worked.
Yeah, apparently that's why they were saying that he was in clothes that weren't his, is because he was being forced and like drugged and disguised as a different person because he was found at this like voter place.
That's so interesting. Whoa.
What's it called? Cooping?
Cooping. And it says voter fraud was extremely common in Baltimore around the mid-1800s. And the polling site where Walker found the disheveled Poe was a known place that coopers brought their victims. And the fact that he was found delirious on election day, they say, is no coincidence.
He got cooped.
Cooping scheme.
He got cooped.
Another theory is that he was murdered because he had a new fiance. She was super wealthy. And they thought that her brothers were... they did not like Edgar Allan Poe and they murdered him. And then the last one was just booze, that he couldn't hold his booze. And
I like the lightweight theory. I don't know. Something about that. He's just like, you know, he's kind of like, he's from what I've gathered so far, he's like, seems like one of the, maybe the first emo kids, you know,
he's
like,
pretty tormented. Yeah. He was kind of a brooding character.
Was he a little guy?
I don't know.
I don't know about his stature, Jared.
Okay. I'm sure you can Google his height.
I just want to know. I want to know. Let's see.
Do a dramatic reading once you find a little paragraph about it. Okay. Find a paragraph and do a dramatic reading like you really care about it.
Edgar Allan Poe, stature.
Physique.
Waiting. Okay.
Here we go. How did others describe Poe's appearance? Most general accounts of Poe's appearance relate that he was a handsome man.
Yes. Whoa. Yes. This was a thing that I saw a lot when I was doing research, is because his picture, he looks very old, like I said. And like, you know, he has his like creepy look, but like you wouldn't look at that guy and be like, that guy's hot.
He looks like he belongs in the Addams Family.
Yes. Mm.
Women in particular considered him good looking.
Whoa.
His attractiveness was enhanced by his bearing, which seems to have been influenced by his brief military experience.
Oh, did he have like a broad shoulder?
So maybe he just like had a big stance. You know, like what you're supposed to do if like a bear is attacking you?
Okay.
So he just took up a lot of space in a room.
He stood tall.
But is this because he was short?
He was 5'8".
Did he puff himself up like a chimpanzee?
He was 5'8".
Or is it a baboon?
He was a sturdy 5'8".
Peacock.
Ooh, a peacock. He was 5'8", but I feel like he presented himself as though he was much taller.
I feel like I saw a lot of shoulder pads and plumage in his clothing.
Yes.
To like make him seem a little denser.
Also, 5'8" back in the day is probably like 6 feet
tall. Super tall. Yeah.
But God forbid he has one Bud Light.
It's all over.
I mean, he couldn't.
He's got a real weak liver.
And also, I learned that he didn't sport his little mustache until like 4 years before he died. And that was such like an iconic part of Edgar Allan Poe's vibe.
Iconic. I'm looking at it right now. It's like, it's what a unique looking person.
He looks kind of like Charlie Chaplin.
Kind of
does. Well, yeah, mustaches back then kind of had this like this vibe to him. I don't know. He's got a nice full mustache.
He had a very asymmetrical face. No offense.
Well, he looks like a Cabbage Patch doll a little bit. Like, he looks kind of like a children's doll. If he didn't have a mustache, he'd look like a baby doll.
I like the shape of his head. It looks like he has a big brain.
He's going to look like a baby.
He looks like a baby, and his hair looks like a baby's hair. Like, it just filled in just he now. Looks
like, but, like, you know, like the babies that look like old men? It's
yes.
Like an old man looking like a baby, looking like an old man.
No, and he looks like a bald mannequin with a little wig put on it.
He looks like when I was growing my hair out and I couldn't figure out where to put the part.
Yeah.
And then he has, like, these, I'm looking at other photos. He looks like, he's got, like, side-eye photos, too. Like, he gives, like, super side-eye, like,
that's
the fuck?
No, that's his really asymmetrical face.
No,
he looks kind of sassy. Eye. Yeah, he's got, like, a sass to
him. He was sassy.
Mm-hmm. It looks like he's going to throw out, like, a quippy insult right now. Mm-hmm. Like,
he was
ready.
Remember?
Yeah, he was.
He was critiquing all these people, probably being a little bitch.
Mm. I can see it in his face. Wow, that's amazing.
He's got a lot of feelings, I can tell.
I love, I think we need to do this anytime we have a deep dive on somebody is really, really rip apart their looks.
Listen, anything over 100 years old is fair game. Because
fair
you know
game.
What? And you know what? He's obviously a prodigy and a, you know, massive contributor to the literary world. There's no denying that. This is all in good fun.
Yeah, we love him.
And you know what? He probably would have been as handsome as literally anyone else. He's just dressed like an old-timey bat.
That's right. You know, and he was probably that 5'8" was probably massive.
He was biggest boy on the block.
Biggest boy on the block. Biggest baby in town.
That's right.
Big baby coming through. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I mean, he did some bad things like marry his 13-year-old cousin, child bride. But when we come back, we're going to hear about some bad things that you people did next.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
You ever meet someone who seems kind of off? Whether it's a creepy neighbor or random phone number that keeps calling you, Truthfinder has you covered. You can search for people by name, address, phone number, email, and more. Truthfinder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you're planning to meet from online dating apps. Go to truthfinder.com/podcasts for a special offer. That's truthfinder.com/podcasts to access your special offer today.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Come one, come all. Worst people ever congregate here with your, what do we call ourselves? With your council of evil.
Your shaman of shame.
Yeah, except none of you have anything to be ashamed about, because I would never play an On the Stand where you were actually a bad person. Because when I hear those, I clutch my pearls and I'm like, oh my God, I can't play this.
And Alexis texts me. She's like, I can't believe I just got a call about this.
I'm waiting for the one that I can make a podcast about.
Nothing
that me and Jack
yet.
Can like do something.
Yeah.
Like, who left this mysterious message? That hasn't occurred yet. It's more, I'm protecting you callers. So we're going to dive right into our first one, and it's about someone's dad. What a fucking delight.
Okay, so this is the worst thing that I've ever done. When I was a freshman in college, I dated this guy, and he was a few years older than me. He was a virgin, and so I took his virginity. He got really attached to me. And I remember eventually he told me he loved me. And I remember saying, I wasn't there yet. And so he said, could I still say it to you? And I said, sure. So he'd say things to me like, I love you. And I'd say, thanks. I remember it was so cringy that at one point, basically needed to break up with him. So one day I called him and said, hey, I have something to tell you. And he said, my dad died. And I said, that's really horrible. I have to break up with you. So, yeah, basically I broke up with a guy the day his dad died. I had to. I really couldn't stand it anymore. I felt really bad, but yeah.
You know, if someone asked me if someone should, like, hey, if your parent died and someone broke up with you, what would you do? You know, I don't think it was at the top of his mind, to be honest. I think, you know, you have to honor the things you need. And the older I get, the more I realize that, like, people's needs can't really be based on other people's needs. You can't be scared to do something that's good for your health because it might hurt someone else's. You can be as considerate as you can be, but you said, it's like, I couldn't take it anymore. And the last thing you wanted to do was be insincere while he was grieving. Like, that would have hurt him more.
It's like a lose-lose situation, because it's like, if they decided that that was the time for the breakup, it's like, you're either going to rip off the Band-Aid then, or you're going to have to, you know, be the person, the rock for them while they grieve. And then you're going to break up with them later. It's like, there really is no right time to do it. So, I mean, it's, you just had to work with what you got, really.
Well, and some people aren't equipped to be a rock. No matter where you are in your life, if somebody's asking for you to be their rock or requiring it, it's on you to not be if you can't be, because you'll just make things worse. So I think your perspective in really ending things in that moment, I think you did the healthiest thing for you and possibly the healthiest for them, because stringing them along through that painful journey could have ended up being way more unkind than you just ripping off the Band-Aid now. Well, and like traumatizing.
Yeah, because it's like, if you strung that person along for X amount of time, and they thought that you were, you know, the one person kind of like holding it together, and then you left, like, that's just like another trauma and another blow. So it's like, yeah, it's like you're just stuck in a really unfortunate situation that has no correct answer. And also, great storyteller. Please call
again. Keep on keeping.
Very good. If you have any more, call us back.
Call us back. I think that, you know, one is enough for this week.
I'm ready for a poem.
And I have been waiting for this poem from Alexas.
Okay, let me just ground myself.
Okay.
Hi, my friends. I have a query. Rhetorical, more like a theory. Nope, I've lost the cadence of the poem. Hold on. Hi, my friends. I have a query. Rhetorical, more like a theory. My life, it has been rather eerie, with sadness, pain, and shame galore. They point at me and sneer with laughter. My mental state... Oh, wait, no, sorry. One more time.
One more time.
Hi, my friends. I have a query. Rhetorical. Fuck. Sorry, I have the paragraph
I'm leaving
me.
All of these false starts in, by the way.
No, you can't. Yes. This is good work. This is good poetic work.
We need to see how the sausage is made.
Hello, my friends. I have a query. Rhetorical, more like a theory. My life, it has been rather eerie, with sadness, pain, and shame galore. They point at me and sneer while laughing. My mental state, it feels like crackling. My problems, they're overlapping. Things are worse than once before. My life sucks. It is a bore. As I remain, forever George.
Oh. Wow. Wow. I love that you got it right on the first try, too.
No, I didn't. Wait, will you cut the bad ones out, please?
No.
Fuck.
No.
But think about how moving it would have been had I done it right the first time.
It was moving regardless.
I was moved. And, you know, I was moved even more hearing all the way that you got there in the end.
All right. Well, this is like Instagram versus real life, guys. Nothing comes out good the first time.
The best thing an artist can do is bare their true soul. And you did that with us
today. Yeah, I don't feel good about that. But if you guys leave it in, there's nothing I can do. So I'm going to surrender myself to your process. And that's fine.
You can trust me.
Love you.
Thanks, Jarrett. Love you
all. All right, guys.
Love you.
Bye.
See ya on Patreon.
Till enough time.
Bye.
Bye.
You ever meet someone who seems kind of off? Whether it's a creepy neighbor or random phone number that keeps calling you, Truthfinder has you covered. You can search for people by name, address, phone number, email, and more. Truthfinder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you're planning to meet from online dating apps. Go to truthfinder.com/podcasts for a special offer. That's truthfinder.com/podcasts to access your special offer today.